The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother, Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What's even the point?
And I'm your sweet baby brother and 30 under 30 media luminary, Griffin McElroy. I'm just going to stick with Travis, what's wrong?
We seem to have joined Travis in media res. Let's take a step back and see what happened.
I missed it.
What?
Which one?
Which did you miss of them?
I missed 420.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, Trav.
I know.
What were you doing?
I wasn't paying attention. I was just, Griffin... Nothing. That's the thing.
Oh, like, shoot.
I just didn't, you know?
Yeah, so you got up and you were, like, just going about your day, and you did smoke, like, a little bit of weed, like, one or two joints, and
but
then,
just normal. Just the normal amount.
The normal amount, not like the buck wild amount that you're supposed to do on the funny weed day. Trav, I'm so sorry, buddy.
Well, you know, it's one of the things. It happens when you work from home, and you don't own a calendar. And, like, all the days start to run together. Like, I forgot it was April for a while. You know what I mean? So, like, and it wasn't until, you know, on the 21st, all my weed friends were like, so what did you get up to yesterday? And I was like, yeah, I just smoked a normal amount of weed and went on about my day. And they were like, what?
Yeah.
And then, so not only did I miss it, I was also embarrassed in all the forums.
It's such an inspiration to me that 420 is able to... You know, usually people would start to think it passé. They would start to think that scene is over. It's played. 420, we get it, everybody, hysterical. But 420, it's just so good and right to have a day about weed that everybody's just like, let's not ruin this for ourselves. Like, let's just all try to be cool about the fact that this is a day about weed and celebrate that.
If you want to come for my 420, you better be prepared for me to come for your Halloween. It's like, what if today it's just all pumpkins and candy and costumes? Like, why? Why? Yeah. Why
well,
today?
It's just like the way that people have embraced June 9th or like March 11th. It's like,
well, March 11th is National 311 Day, where we all get together.
Exactly.
And we also, I will say, smoke a considerable amount of weed and listen to 311 together.
True. And which is funny, because on 420, I usually listen to 311 and smoke an inordinate amount.
They're interchangeable, really, those two dates.
But then there's June 9th, which I think is special for everyone, obviously. Nice.
You idiot. You know, the... It's dumb. I think I'm going to start becoming a Halloween hipster in the same way that some people are hipsters about 420.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just say, like, you know, I wore costumes every day last week. Yeah. I don't need a special day for, you know, that kind of thing.
You're being childish with your jokes about pumpkins and candy and sweets and costumes. I'm being childish. Fuck off. Life is life is so fucking hard. Can you not give me these little checkpoints where I can have just like a little unnecessary celebration?
Some people need to wear costumes to help with chronic pain. Like, yeah, I get it.
I don't like people who are down on holidays for any reason. It's just the year is just long stretches of bullshit garbage. And then we get one day where we can log on to Twitter and say that we're smoking weed, even though we haven't known where to buy weed in 15 years. Just let us have that. Let me have it. Please.
Please let me just make jokes about it. I haven't weeded in so long. Not since I lived in California, where it's everywhere.
It's all over.
Well, I can say that's inaccurate, Travis. I can confirm.
That was not recreational, though, Justin. That was professional weeding.
Yeah, we expensed that.
That was expensed weed. boy.
How did you spend the 420, Justin?
Well, I was doing interstate travel, which, yes, did make things a little more challenging, mm-hmm. For sure. but I just sort of drew a lot of pot leaves on my binders, cool. my various cool. binders. Nice. I drew pot leaves and whiteout on those. Took a couple coats, but I got a look that I'm very proud of. And then I drew a guy with a big hat and a funny coat kind of giving a thumbs up.
Nice.
And he was like, yeah, it was cool too. And he was kind of like having some weed, you
yeah,
know,
sure.
you could tell he was like about to or knew where or had been with weed.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
that way.
I spent it. I spent it by unloading about 18 ounces, made about 40 G's. So
I think you probably took it a little far.
I'm like fucking Walgreens, you know. I come for that Valentine's Day candy momentum.
The best time to buy pot at Walgreens is April 21st. A
Everyone
lot of people
that.
Forget this, but if you go in there on April 21st, they are giving the stuff away.
But
I mean, basically.
Listen, but if you don't get there till like 3 p.m., it's all just going to be like white marijuana. You know what I mean? The gross kind that nobody wants. You know?
those crunchy normal flakes.
Exactly.
No, thank you. Should we advise?
Yeah, this is an advice show, ostensibly. So we take your questions, turn them alchemy-like into wisdom. This first one is, well, I don't know who it's from. It's a very short question. I'm going to play paintball for the first time.
Hell yeah.
Advice? Strategies? And that's from somebody. I don't know.
That question made me really, really happy because it's been a long time since we got just like really straightforward, to the point. I just want to say, side note, hi, everybody. This is Travis McElroy, who goes through all the questions every week. Please stop ending your questions with, am I good?
It's all of them, huh?
Please stop. It's like 75% of questions end with, am I good? And am I good is not an actionable, advisable position. That's not a good question.
In the retail industry, we call that a closed question. We need an open-ended question
here. Thank you. That's like, what I like instance, about this.
Like, for instance, this essentially Yahoo answer question, can you give me advice and strategies for paintball? I will say this. The last time I played paintball was at a buddy's bachelor party, and it was about 48 degrees outside, and I ran around and scampered and did my fucking Sam Fisher techniques all over that battlefield, and I breathed in so much of that cold Texas air that I got extremely sick for the wedding the next day. So nice. just watch that. I'm not saying you're going to a wedding tomorrow, but just don't, like, this is very much the same as my laser tag advice. Do not overexert yourself in all things.
I want to congratulate this person because they have obviously come to the right place.
Oh, yeah.
They've come to My Brother, Me, a tactical podcast. And I think that shows a lot that your head's already where it needs to be, turning to the right people to support you. You know, if you have even a modicum of strategy with paintball, everybody else is just afraid to get shot. You have to live without that fear. You have to get beyond that fear. And be more sort of a symbol. That's the thing that people forget with paintball is that everybody's running around Sam Fisher style. Mm-hmm. And what you lack in that way is nobody to stand up and say, I am your God now. Die for me.
Yes.
I'm the reaper. You know, you get in line, follow behind me, and I will lead you to victory or Valhalla or whatever sort of promises you want to make of glory and death. And that's the thing that people forget to do is become a symbol that people can believe in.
Also, just as a study, wear clothes that are already spattered in paint, and then it's hard to tell if they hit you.
That's good.
That's
or
good.
Just wear the mask and like as little protective clothing as you like want that says like I'm not scared. I'm not scared of the painful welts that I will develop from your balls of paint. Come at me.
I'm looking at a list of terminology here on Wikipedia because I thought it would be funnier than it actually is. there is an entry on here that says street ball, paintball played by those who do it simply for the love of the sport.
Yes.
Wait, you're describing 99.999. There's like one person out there who is a professional paintballer, and I'm sure those people exist, who are just like, oh, fuck, another day of paintball. Pretty much everybody else is out there like, great.
You know what? People don't do enough, like, covert, like, black ops paintball maneuvers. Like, bring your own armbands so you can switch teams at will. You know what I mean? This both works as espionage, but also if your team is losing, well, now you're on the red team and you're winning. Just like that. You know what I mean? Or, like, maybe go hide in the woods until the whole match is over so you don't get shot.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, that fucking Hacksaw Ridge shit.
Yeah, and then you come out and you're like, actually, the last person standing was on the blue team. Whap, whap, whap. And you, like, take out the last red team member.
No, that's not how Hacksaw did it. Now, I did just watch Hacksaw Ridge over the shoulder of somebody sitting in front of me on the airplane. And so I feel pretty that movie is, by the way, as far as I can tell, is a 2-hour long cut of that one scene in Saving Private Ryan where all the people get horribly injured on the beach. It's just like I think that was Clint Eastwood made that one, and he was like, I really like that scene. People walk around, legs blowed up.
Mel Gibson. It was Mel.
Oh, it was Mel doing that one. Well, that makes, that makes a lot more sense now, because he likes that Saw shit. But it's just like, man, I like that part of the movie. I'd love for it to be 2 hours. Just a lot of people wandering around horribly, horribly injured. I love it.
You know what, Griffin? I agree. Why all these war movies always have to show people getting hurt? You know what I mean? Where's the fun side?
It's excessive.
Where's the card games?
Every 4 minutes.
The Blackadder stuff.
Every 4 minutes, somebody jumps on a fucking grenade in that movie. It's like they had this new, like, gut-launching technology that they were, like, really fucking psyched to use.
The problem with paintball is that no matter how tactical you get, if you pull some sneaky shit and some cool shit and blast a bunch of people, the problem with paintball is they are immediately able to comment on what you have done for them. You know, in war, when you kill people in war, I bet you probably feel guilty later. But, like, in the immediate, you don't get people like, oh, man, come
why
on.
Why did you do that?
Come on, man. This is not, that's not cool. We were all facing the other way, and you came up behind the thing. Oh, man.
It was Todd's birthday, and you shot him. You shot Todd on his birthday. This was for him.
You ran me through with a bayonet. Oh, man.
Come on.
Come on, man. You got
what? You were in the
trees.
We were all marching forward in straight lines in our bright red coats, and you guys were just, like, hiding in the trees and the bushes and shit.
Oh, man. You burned all our Johnny cakes. Come on.
Oh, what a turd.
You shot my butt, dude.
Look at that turd. These turds are using paint cannons and shooting a bunch of people at once. Come on.
These blankets are just soaked in paint.
You just put paint all over the blankets. Come on. Come on.
I don't have...
You're not supposed to go in the river. Come on. That's off limits. They told us.
Do y'all want a Yahoo?
How come Civil War reenactors don't use fucking paintball guns? Wouldn't that be the sweetest? Wouldn't that elevate Civil War reenactment if they were just like, pop, pop, pop? Like, I know that you're feeling a little bit of that pain. Like, you want to get in it? Get in it.
You want to get
in
it?
Here.
Yeah, you want to be in George Washington's fucking mindset? Mm-hmm. Civil War hero George Washington? You want to be in that mindset?
Uh-huh.
Okay. But there will be a cost, a pain cost. It's going to sting you and zing you.
Have I told you guys my idea for a maybe $1 billion idea for war reenactments?
Oh, I thought you were just going to say war. I'd be like,
no. No,
it's two guns attached, front to back.
I call them pre-enactments, and it's like future wars that you're staging and how you think they would go. And it could go so far as to, like, you know, the year 3017, you know what I mean? And it's like, this is what I think war will be like in the future. But the nice thing about pre-enactments is they can end however you want.
Oh, you sure.
Know, it's, you don't have to feel like, just because maybe the Union won, that doesn't hold up in pre-enactments. You could do whatever you want, and it could be different every time.
Technically, every time that two nerds are flying their drones close to each other and then they crash into each other and fall to the ground, that's technically a pre-enactment of the 3017 drone battles.
And it's also copyright infringement. TM, TM, TM.
TM, TM, drone battle, war reenactment. I think, Trav, we could do a pretty good job accurately pre-enacting the next war with today's political stuff.
I don't follow. Is there something going on?
A lot of
it. Here's another question.
You don't want a Yahoo?
It's a Yahoo question. It's a Yahoo question.
I wanted to celebrate Science March, which Justin, you know, you and Sydney and Chuck participated in.
Yes.
Is Science March like 420?
It was 422, actually.
Okay. After sort of that good head buzz worn off, it's like, let's get out there and win one for science. This one was sent in by Casey Mayer. Thank you, Casey. It's Yahoo Answers user question mark who asks, if all the birds in the world held on to a tree and fly up, will the world move? Science.
Damn,
dude. This one would work for 420 or Science Day.
If all the birds in the world...
It would have to be a big old tree. Big, big, big tree. Deep roots, right? Not to yank them out of the ground. Deep roots.
Here's the thing.
I'm talking about a Yggdrasil thing. Situation.
I know the answer to this. I think. Maybe. But we often run into this. I feel this urge to point out actual logical answers to this because I know that there will be people on Twitter after the episode goes up and says, like, I can't believe you guys didn't say blank. But blank is really funny.
And everybody listening at home, I know there are birds who eat other types of birds, and so this sort of bird union would never happen. I get it, but play with us.
Just have some fun.
Just play with me.
Like birds on birds on birds. Like a bird that stands on another bird's shoulder.
Oh,
just
man.
Because I don't know how big a tree you could find that would have enough branch space. But if the birds all kind of locked together, Voltron-esque.
Eagle holds the branch. Hawk holds the eagle. Fucking pigeon holds the hawk. Sparrow holds the pigeon. Yes.
Yes.
And then now we're talking about eight wings. That's a lot of torque. That's a lot of lift.
Yeah. Is there any actual answers? Did anybody try to, like, be smart about it?
There's a lot of you'll rip the tree out of the ground before it will apply force. And
boo. Play with us.
If the birds were holding on to trees all over the world, they'd be going against each other. Yeah, no shit. That was never even part of the fucking equation.
Dummy.
One tree. One big Yggdrasil. Yahoo Answers user Pranit says, an exciting question. I agree.
intriguing conundrum.
I think it can happen. This could follow Newton's first law of motion, which I think states that if a bunch of birds hold onto one tree, mm-hmm. they can fly the world away.
You know, yeah, there's a lot of people, there's probably a lot of naysayers about that, but there is a chance that after the Allfather, creator of the Allspark, finished creating the Earth and Cybertron simultaneously, after the Allfather finished his work, he was going over, he's like, everything looks good. And then one of the All Angels came to him and said, Allfather, what if... And he's like, oh, shit. Oh, God. Damn it.
Yo, Allfather, you made a lot of birds. Did you stop to think that maybe...
There's a lot of them, huh?
I'll talk to one of the birds to make sure at least one doesn't show up. So it'll be... I'll make Jerry the bird promise that he won't go. It'll be fine.
I like to think that if these birds do accomplish this feat and then Earth is tossed into a state of orbital decay that leads to our agonizing march into the sun's molten core, we really can't be too pissed off about that, right? Because it's like, birds, no human's ever done anything that cool, birds. Like, literally all of you came together to hurl our planet into the sun. And
this is coming back to the war on birds, though. That human-bird war that we've been touching on from time to time.
Yeah.
This is, like, the ultimate power play of the birds. Like, if we can't have this Earth, then let it be dust.
Yeah.
If we can't have this planet, no one can. Then let the big burning star in the sky have it.
I just so badly want to see the meeting of each leader of every kind of bird all getting together to vote on whether or not they should all hurl the Earth into the sun. And there's something about that image that just makes me so happy.
But
see, like, the hawks and the turkeys and, well, turkeys don't fly. What a turkey.
Yes,
talk about.
Yes.
Flightless birds.
Yeah. Yes, birds are going to, especially, can I hit you with our main ally in this quest? The Judas Iscariot for all bird kind is, of course, penguins. Penguins like, I don't want any, you want to throw it into the sun? That's the opposite temperature we like.
I like the chilies. Yes.
So you're saying that, like, while all the flying birds are, like, tugging on this tree, there's going to be a bunch of ostriches down there, like, come
Come on, y'all.
They'll actually all be laying on their backs, flapping their wings up.
Well, penguins will just be mating nonstop. They're like, we got to make more penguins weigh this motherfucker down.
There's a penguin nature special narrated by David Tennant, and it's called, like, Spies Amongst the Nest or something.
It's called Tuxedo Boys.
It's called Tuxedo Boys, where they've put a bunch of cameras disguised as penguins in amongst the penguins. And I bring this up because there are numerous, numerous times where some penguin will just try to mate with that camera.
Fuck yeah.
Like, penguins is down.
Penguins are down. I always say this. All dressed up and somewhere to go, which is inside of David Tennant's secret camera. Oh, shit. I just realized in my office that I've been working out of for about 3 years now, there's been a completely stationary penguin this entire time. And I've never asked any questions about it, but I'm starting to think David Tennant is watching me do podcasting.
Well, don't react, Griffin. Don't ruin this.
I think I'm going to try to make love to this camera.
The only thing that gives me peace about this scenario is if you do see the birds trying to pull this shit, and they will eventually.
Someday.
It's fine. Someday they will. The good news about it is you just throw a pack of captain's wafers up there and they're going to forget the whole enterprise.
Dude,
hold the line!
If you threw one oyster cracker into that mosh pit, they would fucking dissolve.
No problem.
No problem at all.
Here's another question. A few weeks ago, I had a dream that an actor who I admire and think is attractive, Chris Evans, wanted to have sex with me. The problem is, I turned him down, saying that I was waiting until marriage to Chris Evans. I have regretted this ever since. I don't have any sort of significant other that would have been cheating on my doing it with Chris Evans in my dream. And if Chris Evans himself actually asked me if I wanted to do it with him, I would definitely say yes.
Oh, man.
How can I rectify this terrible mistake? Awkwardly abstinent in Arkansas.
Okay.
Fuck,
I
good.
Am with this on so many levels because, like, I feel like once a week, I have a dream that is like a movie that is building up to something. In this case, Your Mind movie was a Chris Evans amateur pornographic film.
Amateur. You don't know what the quality
might have been.
Very.
I mean, fucking. If Chris Evans is in it, it's definitely high budge. Okay, that's fair, Travis. But I have a movie where I like find these fucking gloves that let me fly around and give me super strength. But the mad inventor of these gloves needs me to train before he'll let me use them. And so I go into his secret lair and I fucking work my ass off just learning to use these power gloves. And then the fucking big metal doors open and I step outside like, all right, time to fight some. Hey, Griffin, the baby's crying. You need to wake up. And it's like, I just got the power gloves, though. Pretty like once a week, Rachel will wake me up because they'll be like, hey, can you go get the baby? And I'll be like, but I just got the hover bike. I just got the hover bike just now.
I think the real concern here that this person question asker didn't even address is the issue of what if you were dealing with like concurrent dreaming and this was not just dream Chris Evans.
Oh my God, Travis.
But like real Chris Evans was also having this dream, sharing this dream with you. And then Chris Evans woke up like, no.
Oh man.
No.
I would have liked to.
I would have done that.
Finally, I'd love to have sex.
I'd love to know what sex feels like on my wiener for once.
Just once. In the movies, Chris Evans.
Sometimes in the movies, they make it pretend like we do. But I've never actually had the wiener feel of sex before.
I just want to do sex once where I'm not wearing my trunks like I have to in the movies.
They make me wear my swim trunks when I make sex in the movies. And it's like I'm always curious about what if the trunks weren't there.
What would happen if you tried to have sex? So Chris, it's time. Are you ready to have sex? Yeah, let me just get my trunks and we'll get right to it. Actually, Chris, you don't have to wear your trunks every time.
What? Wait, huh?
Huh? I could do it without the trunks.
This is heartbreaking. What's really a bummer is you can't get back into the Chris Evans sex situation. You can't get the hover bike. You can't always conjure up the gloves. Cause sometimes you lay down like, all right, I'm going to step back into my movie and I'm going to start with the power gloves. It's a little cheat code. And then you close your eyes and all of a sudden you're having sex with Chris Evans.
You have to master lucid dreaming.
That's it, isn't it?
That's the only thing. Now, here's a little factoid about the J-Man. I did kickstart. I am sort of on the forefront of this.
Oh, man.
I did kickstart.
This is gonna be so rough.
What?
I'm just like holding on to my the arms of my chair in like preparation for this whack thing that you've kickstarted.
I'm sort of on the forefront of this. I did help to kickstart a lucid dreaming helmet where it's sort of a band that will help you to gain the ability to have lucid dreams. It's called the Aurora. And I'm sort of on the forefront of this experimental technology. The one thing about it is that we did sort of get over that hump in late 2013, and I haven't gotten. I'm assuming it's still in testing because I have not received.
You've got to be careful with a product like this. You don't want to give somebody like spooky dreams with the wrong head crystals, Justin.
Justin, how do you know that you're not somewhere asleep wearing it right now?
Oh my
dreaming
God.
This.
Justin, I'm just a figment of your shit, dude.
This is all a dream, Justin. You can have sex with Chris Evans whenever you want. Turn around.
Sorry, you think you are a successful podcaster? Oh, God, how fucking
in West
rich.
Virginia?
In West Virginia, Justin, all of this is just a weird buffalo wing you ate. Don't you get it?
One thing is, I am reviewing the emails I've received about the Aurora over time, and the subject line has now changed from initially it was Aurora, the ultimate lucid dreaming tool, to the Aurora Dream Band, the ultimate sleep aid. So I am worried that maybe somewhere along the line they realized that lucid dreaming may have been flying too close to the sun.
It's not just that. A sleep aid is the opposite of a lucid dreaming tool. It's a placid dreaming. It's an extremely placid dreaming tool now.
The next email you guys are just going to say, the Aurora headband, it kind of smells like lavender. You'll like it.
You can use it to cover your eyes. Okay.
Aw, dang.
That does help. Please, no one Google to find out how much that was. that is my actually legally. I'm putting a legal disclaimer on this. Please don't Google that. Okay, I was really into lucid dreaming at the time. All right, thank you.
Did you ever pull it? Did you ever get good at it?
I don't know, Griffin. I don't have the fucking headband yet. But I think they're going to fulfill. I feel pretty good. It's been about 4 years now. I'm feeling good. That we can't be that far away from this tech.
Yeah, $150 for the first early bird backers. $160 for the later.
I would have loved to get on at that level. $150 early bird sounds pretty sweet.
And then
I probably have it by now.
Probably about $200 is probably what about J Dog spent on this. And let me look at this thing. I mean, it looks like a very shitty, very small Oculus Rift. So.
If you want, Justin, I could just paint the inside of some goggles black and sell it to you for $120.
I could print out some fucking high-res glossy JPEGs of Chris Evans and just tape them onto some fucking scuba goggles and put those on your eyes every night before you go to sleep.
I could pay Chris Evans to come hang out with you for a while if you want.
Yeah. Should we go to the money zone so you could recoup some of your lost sleep dream band finances?
Yeah, let's head in.
It now we're here.
Hi Money Zone.
Hello.
Can I talk about MeUndies?
Please. Yes. Do.
Here's what's up with MeUndies. I want you to look at, take a personal inventory of your wardrobe right now. Is something missing in your beautiful wardrobe? I bet these soft modal underwears are missing from your body. MeUndies are the best underwear that you can get. They deliver them right to your door. It's made of sustainably sourced micromodal. It's a fabric 3 times softer than cotton. It's literally all I wear now. I am fortunate enough to have replaced all of my bad garbage underwear. That's not true. I have one pair of boxers that I wear just because the whole... Just remember the dark time. But sure enough, by the end of the day, those things are just soaking wet, and I don't know why, but not MeUndies. Guess what, guys? You can save time and money each month by getting a monthly subscription to MeUndies. And they send you the new MeUndies to your door, and they have fun prints, and they're really sexy and cute. If you don't want a subscription, that's fine. You can still save because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just visit our special URL, MeUndies.com/mybrother, and get 20% off your first pair. Go to your underwear drawer, upend it, throw all that trash in there away, and put it, stuff that shit with MeUndies. Again, MeUndies.com/mybrother. Go get 20% off your first pair. MeUndies.com/mybrother. You're going to love it.
I would like to tell you about a box of nature that I received.
They just send you a bunch of pine cones?
Yeah. Oh, God. It's great. I think we've only made that joke 8 times so far. Are you talking about nature boxes?
Shut your dick.
Nature Box is a longtime friend
of
the show.
Hey, huff my shorts, Travis, if you're going to be a balls about it.
They make great snacks that actually taste great and are better for you. Hey, listen, I'm a bit of a snack monster from time to time, and I don't mean like a cute, like Sesame Street, like, oh, me love snacks. I mean like, my God, what have you done? Kind of snack monster. And when Nature Box came in my life, it presented me a snacking opportunity that didn't make me feel like shit for the rest of the day. And I really appreciate that from Nature Box. They make snacks that they're high quality ingredients that are free from artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. So you don't have to feel bad about snacking. And they have lots of different options: sweet, savory, spicy. Lots of different things for any snack preference you got. And they've made their service even better. Now you can order as much as you want, as often as you want, with no minimum purchase required, and you can cancel any time. So right now, you'll save even more because NatureBox is offering our fans 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/mybrother. That's naturebox.com/mybrother for 50% off your first order. It's a great deal for great snacks and good times, great country, NatureBox. naturebox.com/mybrother.
It plays country music when you open it.
Plays country music that may or may not be DJed by our dad, depending on when you open it. Our dad's a country music DJ.
Yeah, I think folks get it at this point.
Okay, because if they don't know that, what I've just said is even weirder than it is on the surface.
I've got a personal message here. It's for Charlie, Nicole, Justin, and Brittany, and it's from Nelson. And there's an exclamation point, so that was the exact right reading. Thanks for introducing me to these good brothers. Our annual NOLA trip was a blast. Can't wait to do it again next year. Thank you, brothers. Well, you're very welcome.
You're very welcome. Where was my invite? I would love to get down to NOLA and chill with
Justin,
y'all.
Do you think you're the Justin in this message?
I did not go to NOLA. I have not been to NOLA.
Oh, y'all, we got to get to NOLA.
We got to get to NOLA. There.
Hey, what would a NOLA show be like for us? Like, we should do a NOLA show.
Hey, we should definitely go and do a NOLA show, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, that should be. You know where else I want to do a show now? Because I was just there. Atlanta.
Atlanta.
That's a cool
place. We can knock those both out in one trip. Not a big deal.
Not even a big deal.
Can we also do one in Savannah, or is that too close to Atlanta?
Oh, I love that. Get down to Tybee.
Get down to Tybee for a fucking just beach vacation bash.
Get down to that island life.
I would love to do a fucking show with the beach in the background and just the waves behind me, just like getting powered by that.
I'd love to do a show with the Beach Boys where I'm just playing drums for them.
I would love to do that with the Beach Boys together.
Yeah.
I love that. Just us and the Beach Boys. Do it. What a better pairing could there be? Alexi, are you listening? It's me, Justin. I have a message for you, Alexi. It's from Allie, Ash, Ollie, and Natalie. Hey, Alexi. We all love you very much, and we wanted to wish you a happy birthday. Thank you for rolling into our lives and making us laugh about pooping your baby diaper while playing Fallout 4. We're so jazzed that a literal angel brought you to us with all the joy and support you've given us in just a few months. We love you, baby boy. That is so sweet, and that's for Alexi.
Is it?
So happy birthday, Alexi. What?
Is it? Sometimes, some crimes go slipping through the cracks. Do you think that this is for an actual baby?
Yeah.
Or all these just inside jokes for a grown person?
I hope not, because Fallout 4 was rated by the Entertainment Software Review Board as being M for mature audiences because of graphic violence and probably cussing. And if a baby played it, it would literally ruin that baby. That baby would be worthless at that point.
Because right from the beginning, if a baby was there when everybody's running around like, fuck, a bomb!
Yeah.
It would be like, whoa, hold on, babies shouldn't be hearing that. And they'd be like, fuck, all this radiation everywhere made these fucking ants so big. And
yeah.
Be like,
And then the baby ant bites you in the torso and you just Hacksaw Ridge all over the place. You can't let a baby see that shit.
Are you easily confused by terms like cultural appropriation, cisgender, and woke?
Or maybe you find yourself constantly explaining terms like these and you need a place to vent.
Do you have a love for all things pop culture, social commentary, and politics?
Sounds like you need Minority Corner, where you can learn, laugh, and play.
Sounds like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, gay, and ladylike.
James and Aneke will happily administer your weekly dose each and every Friday.
You can listen on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
Minority Corner.
With a K.
Because the C was taken.
This Yahoo was sent in by Rachel Sperling. Game-recognized game, Rachel Sperling, thank you. It's by Yahoo Answers user Al Kexis, who says, is it weird if two strangers had a mutual agreement to lean on each other on a plane? Lahin, okay. You're on a long flight. Is it weird to ask the passenger sitting next to you before you take off if you could lean on them to sleep and they could lean on you? Would you take this offer?
Well, no, because if you're both leaning on each other, you're getting only half the lean.
Well, okay, hold on. So,
because you'd be forming an equilateral triangle where you want is it isosceles? You want to lean all the way over with them sitting at like a 90. They're straight up and down, and you're leaning against them, so you're getting maximum lean. Maybe you trade off. Maybe take turns leaning. How long is the flight? Like, there are a lot of factors here. How tall is the person? What angle are you going to be leaning at? You know what I mean? Is their head on top of your head? How poofy is their hair? How poofy is your hair?
And then there's accessory questions. Do they have padded shoulder pads that would be like a comfy pillow for you to lay on?
Big dangly earrings that might get caught in your beard.
Do they have some sort of cheek stink that you don't want to be close to?
Mm-hmm.
The problem with this is I'm a fidgeter.
Yeah. Mm.
I like to. What if I finish the game I'm enjoying on my Nintendo Switch and I need to play some more Knights of the Old Republic on my iPad.
Okay.
A very old video game that I'm currently enjoying. What if I need to do that? Do I tell them, like, excuse me, I have an important announcement. Excuse me, I have some important news about our arrangement.
The game has changed. Oh, that's the ultimate, isn't it? Yeah. Let's lean on each other. I'll go first. And then you do it. And then you're like, what are you doing? Excuse me, flight attendant. Look at what this person's done to me. The fucking most brutal betrayal. I love that shit.
I get uncomfortable if my elbow touches the other person's elbow. So I don't know. And let me be clear. Not because I have a problem with contact with another human being. I feel bad being in someone, it makes me feel like Shrek the Ogre to, like, just go.
Now, which one is
swamping
that?
Through the world. He's the big green one with the horns, with the, like, the his head. It looks like trumpets. And I feel bad moving through the world, just putting my elbows against other people and saying, this is my space now. I'm taking this armrest. I'm going to lean on you and drool on your tweed coat.
But
this makes me feel bad.
But. Okay. I want you to imagine you're on that flight to Hong Kong, about 13 hours. You are wiped out. 13 hours is such a long time to be seated. And so you don't have this conversation with your nabes because it would be uncomfortable. But then you look at the people in front of you and they are full-blown Bubba Gump person TP together with each other. And you think, like, fuck, that looks nice. Because they're getting the best sleep of their lives touching a stranger, and they're going to get to Hong Kong and they're going to be all refreshed, and you are not because you were afraid to have this conversation.
I had a wonderful moment. I think it was when I was flying back from Portland. It was near the end of the boarding process, and there was a seat. It was a three across seat, and I was at the window, and my neighbor was in the middle seat, and no one was in the aisle seat. And what I realized through body language, both of us were just staring at the door.
Oh.
And as soon as the flight attendant closed the door and that seat was still empty, like, they were in the aisle seat a nanosecond later without any – and we didn't communicate about it. It was not like, if that seat stays open, we take this seat and we share it, half is your empty space and have it. Like, they did it. And all I wanted to do was turn towards them and be like, yes, you've done it. You saw, thank you. It was just such an amazing, where it's like there are good people in the world.
There are still there good people in the
kindness.
World.
There is kindness. Yes.
I got to read this Yahoo Answer response from Bluebell BKK, who says, I once traveled with a man I didn't know, but who turned out in preliminary conversation to be the friend of a friend of mine. Why is it that people on Yahoo Answers talk like they're from another fucking planet? In preliminary conversation, he was at the window. I was on the aisle, and there was an empty seat between us. We agreed that we would both put our feet up on the spare seat for extra comfort and not worry if our legs happened to touch. We traveled comfortably for the 6-hour flight. How did this convo go down? I'm going to put my feet up, and you can do it too. And listen, odds are my gams, your pegs, going to touch.
We might hit some turbulence, and it might just become a leg milkshake.
We might have a little calf-to-calf contact. Is that going to be cool with you? Cool. It's cool. It's cool with me. If it's fine with you, let me know. A little calf-to-calf. That's good. That's a good touch.
Unfair deal for the person on the aisle. Because if you're against the window, you can lean your back against the window and put your feet up in the seat. But if you're in the aisle, you're just like leaning into the aisle to put your feet up.
Ready to get your head touched by butts and genitals nonstop over and over again.
And just be killed by the drink cart.
Decapitated by a drink cart.
The aisle should be the only seat on an airplane. There shouldn't be other seats that aren't. I do not understand people with a window preference on an airplane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why is your preference to, especially if your flight is longer than 45 minutes long, I cannot fathom being locked in a human prison.
Yes.
Just a hey, you know how much you like social interactions? How would you like to be forced to have two of them so you and everyone knows that you're going to take a shit?
And
like,
not only that,
you enjoy that.
You have to time it out and anticipate the person coming out of the bathroom.
That's the brutal part. Yeah.
Because if you make it to the aisle and someone has just stepped in the bathroom, you have to sit back down in the most sheepish, like, well, I guess I missed it.
I was 3 deep in the window on my flight back from New York on Friday. 3 deep on the window. And I immediately recognized this was a problem for me and where I'm at as a person on Earth today. I sat down, put on that good Delta screen. I turned around, saw what movies. Oh, Fantastic Beasts and How to Get All of Them. Fucking great. Tuned in.
Yeah, How to Catch Them All.
And the whole time I'm watching Eddie Redmayne do his business. And collect all these wonderful beasts. The whole time I'm thinking, like, piss sounds pretty good right about now. And so I had to ask these people, one of whom had a bottle of wine that they just opened and it sat out on their tray, and the other one was doing important work on their laptop that they had sat out on the tray. I was like, hey, I need to disrupt both of your guys' whole shit for, like, 10 minutes. And don't get comfortable, because you know I'm going to be coming back. And so I did my business. I came back to sit down to enjoy Eddie Redmayne. And I'm not kidding. Like, I put the earbuds back in my ears, and I pressed play on the movie, and almost instantly I started panicking about, like, I know I'm going to need to piss again before this flight is up. And it's all I could think about. Like, I just watched Colin Farrell do his acting up on the screen and Eddie Redmayne do his thing up on the screen. And the whole time I'm like, I wish I could enjoy this beast capture movie. But the whole time it's just like, when's that next piss going to come? And sure enough, it did. And I had to be like, I'm so sick. One person was like building a model ship on their fucking thing. And one of them was painting like an anime mech model. And I was like, I need you to put all the caps back on your mini jars of acrylic paint so I can go take my second piss in an hour. 3 deep in the window, dude. Never again.
Shit.
Can we agree from now on, if the person in the window seat gets up to go to the bathroom, everybody fucking Mad
Just
Hatter
stand.
Tea party,
Wait.
Change places, scoot one seat over, rotate.
Oh, shit. That's good. If you have to get up to go to the bathroom, then you've earned the aisle seat because you've proven yourself the bathroom user of the group.
Yeah. I'm the worst. I would be the worst person on I would never want to be next to me on a red eye, because if I'm on a red eye flight, I'm going to sleep. That's a whole production. Like I'm in the aisle, and then I'm full like sensory deprivation chamber, wrapping myself in blankets. Mask
fucking,
on, noise canceling.
You're fucking like, 11 floating in the saltwater tank. Like,
right. You are not getting shit your pants. You're not getting past
shit
me.
Your pants. I'm in the upside down. Fuck off. No way.
I can't sleep on a plane. So if you're next to me on a red light, you'll just hear me occasionally go, I hate this. I hate this so much.
And enough airplane humor, I think.
What's the deal with the food? Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. That's our airplane jokes. Today, I texted my partner to pick up cat litter while she was out. Only problem is I didn't text her. I texted the service department at the dealership where my car is being repaired. There's a reason for this. This is too long to read. I may or may not have included several poop emojis. They replied asking what brand. Then after I tried to laugh it off with a lol whoops, they doubled down and said they would go get the cat litter for me. I haven't responded, and I'm supposed to pick up my car tomorrow, and I'm terrified that they'll bring it up. Or worse, maybe they did get the litter. Should I say yes to their offer?
Oh my God.
Should I just cut my losses and forget about my car? Please help. That's from Scooping Scat in St. Petersburg. Wow. That's a good car
dealership.
That's a very,
no, it's not. Because they spent, what, $6 on this box of cat litter, and you come in to pick it up, and then you buy, for the rest of your life, you continue to buy your $20,000 automobile. This is a very small investment. I'm surprised they don't do shit like this more often. Like, I never got a text from my Volkswagen dealership like, hey, sorry, we lied to you, and oops, you're going to have to go through a bunch of stuff. Can we bring you some hot dogs? I would fucking, yeah, that'd be great, actually. Bring it
here's
on by.
The, here's if I relate to question asking this because my thought, if somebody was like, no, we'll get it, all I can think is like, okay, that's what you say, but are y'all just like sitting in like the repair bay just fucking
cackling,
laughing your faces off at how stupid I am, and I'm gonna roll up and you're gonna be all smiles and you're gonna hand me my, you know, tidy cat or whatever, but I'm gonna like, what am I? I'm going to say thank you and be grateful to you while you just cackled about how dumb I was to send you this text. And like, I won't know and you won't say, and it'll be kind of weird. But what if I show up and it's not there? Do I be like, hey, where's
my cat? You can't roll up to any sort of car dealership and be like, where's my cat later? It's like, what are you this is a car dealership.
My cat's been holding her piss for 24 hours just waiting for this.
My apartment reeks of piss and shit. Where's my cat litter? Like, this is a Mazda dealership.
I would be so worried that they would get the wrong. Even if it's the right brand, they wouldn't get the exact right. My babies are very particular about their Dr. Elsley's cat attract that they enjoy using. And I really would not want to trust. I can't find it in local stores, if you know what I mean. I can't find it in the big box, some of the big boxes, because my babies are very particular
I'll
about where
what
they
do
their thing.
Here's what I do.
Yes,
here's my kitty
so
litter.
Yes, Travis, please tell me what you do, Travis, because I
thank
would,
you.
I don't. I no longer want to continue talking about what I do.
Thank you.
In
Dustin.
The funny joke way.
My
like,
kitty litter.
I'd love, I'm, the one thing I was hoping while I was talking about that is, fuck, I hope Travis has something to tell me about cat litter, because I am just mid-sentence and I can't. I don't know how to finish it. What do people
news,
put at the end
Justin.
Of sentences?
Good news,
well, the
I
one
do.
Thing, Trav, I really
well,
was hoping that
but
you
Justin,
would.
Justin,
I'm
imagine my relief.
I'm going to get some more coffee.
Imagine my relief that my brother Travis was there to help me out of the sentence
You're
I was
welcome.
In.
You're welcome.
I was a few
I'm glad I could help
in.
You. I'm
what
glad
was
I
next?
Could,
a preposition?
I could alley-oop this ball for you.
An I interjection? I had no idea. Spike. So happy that Travis is here to deliver me. So please, I'm all ears, Travis.
I get the tidy cat, the one with the black lid, that is like multiple cat strength, even though I only have the one pretty tiny cat, because, and I don't know why everyone doesn't do this, I don't want to smell my cat's piss and shit. So why wouldn't I get the one that's four times as powerful at masking odors as the basic one?
Because your fucking cat lowers their bung a little bit too much into that stuff, and it just dissolves. They are corroded. What are you talking about? I don't understand why everybody just doesn't get nuclear waste for their cats to shit in that the cat will essentially dissolve in as soon as it looks or touches it. What are you talking about?
I tried to do lavender scented once, and the cat was not fucking having it at all. She was like, hey, this is my shit dirt. What are you doing? Do you think that I, a cat out in nature, would just find some lavender sand? Come on.
I'm going to exercise my, I'm exercising my veto power right now, because I want to hear about where Justin gets his fancy cat litter for his babies. Take that, well, take that, rewind it back.
In 2014, I kickstarted a brand new kind of cat litter. I'm still waiting. It's not here yet, but They say it's very good for cats, and it helps them have lucid dreams. Yeah, lucid dreaming litter. And, see, this is why it's good sometimes when Travis interrupts me, because then I had time to think of that very funny joke. It wasn't sorry, listeners, that one wasn't true. You just got zinged by a J-Man joke and J-Man. The jokester. Jokes is back in the room. He was actually in the corner the entire time. He slipped in while Travis so rudely interrupted me, as he
often
does. That's
why I did it. I covered for him.
Thanks, Jokes.
I have to say non-funny things for a couple minutes so Jokes can, like, have a sip of his coffee and, like, put his paper down and, like, really just sit there for a minute and think about, and then he hands a note card to Justin with, like, kitty litter that facilitates lucid dreaming on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Justin's like, thank you, Jokes, and Jokes just kind of nods and then leaves.
Jokes has been kind of a prima donna lately. Like, I think we're, like, we've hit a certain level of notoriety that Jokes feels like they can sort of, they can kind of push us around a little bit, sort of like the Friends cast. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not fucking stepping foot into the studio for less than 20 G's. Can I read this Yahoo?
Yeah, please.
It's from Maddie Miller. Thank you, Maddie. It's from Yahoo Answers user. They are anonymous, but I'll call him Ross. Asks, am I allowed to hold dance classes in the sewer? I want to start teaching contemporary dance and was wanting to teach it in an area that's private so my students wouldn't feel embarrassed. But I can't afford to rent a building and thought the sewers would be a great place to hold the classes at. I just wanted to know if you are allowed to do it.
This isn't real. There's no way. I'm sorry. Sometimes people get a little rambunctious on Oath Answers and they say things that I don't think are true. And to me, I think this is a joke.
There is one scenario in which this might be real, Justin. This person...
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles dance classes.
No, but also that. But this person, they're thinking, oh, when I hold these underground dance classes, and then maybe they watch that scene from Guys and Dolls.
Yes.
And would they have the craps game in the sewer in the biggest fucking, like, pipe distribution.
Coolest sewer ever.
Yeah, and they're like... underground dance classes underground, of course.
Let me hit you with three arguments. One is free real estate down there. It's the sewers and you don't have to worry about it. Can I go open up a manhole cover and just go subterranean and, like, I'm cool down there, right? Nobody's gonna arrest. What are you doing in the sewers? It's like, it's the sewers. I'm just down here. Am I not allowed to be down here? It's just like a sidewalk underground. It's the sewers. Let me keep doing my dance class. Number two, contemporary dance. Justin, you're telling me the sewers is not a dope-ass place? You're telling me fucking Travis Wall has not fucking choreographed a sewer-based dance? You're out of your mind. Of course he has. Number three, all that tapping and shuffling is going to sound pretty good echoing down those long, long sewer hallways, whatever those are called. So I think maybe go fuck yourself.
Here's the thing, Justin, you might not understand this, but there are two things that legally no one owns, and that is the sky and the sewers.
Okay. Yes.
Nobody owns the sewers. They've just always been there.
They've always been there. Waiting for me to do my cool dances in it. So, Justin, your rebuttal about how this is a fake joke, please.
Now that I think about it, it would be pretty great to be doing all of my moves.
Uh-huh.
And then when the choreographer's like, where did you learn steps like that? I look at him all haughty and I'm like, the sewer.
Yeah.
That's where I got it. Of course.
Now, so I will say this. You're doing your step ball change. And you ball change into a human turd.
End of career.
This is not ideal. Travis Wall would be like, why did you fall down? And be like, Travis, I have a pretty good reason for this one. Nigel Thornberry is like, it was a good dance until you totally stepped on and Hacksaw Ridged that turd, that human turd all over the place, and it was rough stuff. It was really rough and tumble.
Nine out of ten.
And Paulo,
I love your style. I love your moves. It does constantly look like you're on high alert to step in human dookie.
Paul is like, I kind of like when you made the turd explode by dancing, stepping on it really hard. I kind of liked it. It was very evocative. It added to Travis's choreography in a really point.
I'm here for my audition. Oh, good. Come on in. It's going to be great, isn't it? Yes, it's going to be very good. The one thing is, to help me get comfortable, I was wondering if I could spread human feces and McDonald's wrappers all over the floor of this place so I can do the dancing good, because that's how I hit my marks.
Of course.
Of course. Of course.
Why would you even ask?
We respect your art. Yes.
This is dance.
That's my favorite scene in Center Stage, by the way, that where they teach that class about how to hit your poop marks. I've seen Center Stage way too many times in my life.
It doesn't sound like you actually have, maybe, at all.
Oh, it's been a while.
Maybe not even once.
It's been a while. I have a hard time remembering if there's a scene where they dance on turds or not.
It's in the director's cut.
I wouldn't Google that, folks. That's going to lead you down to the dark rabbit holes. Just leave that as a mystery for the ages.
Oh, dark rabbit holes is another good place to teach dance.
Yeah, it's true.
Hey, rabbits, clear out. Time to boogie. let's call it there.
Yeah.
Let's say that's an entire episode of our podcast program. Thank you so much for listening to it. We very much appreciate you. And, we always do. Here's one we haven't asked about in a while. If you enjoy our program and you would like to help other people enjoy it, one of the best ways you can do that is, go to iTunes and find our podcast and leave us a rating and ideally a review if you enjoy the program, because a lot of like podcast visibility is determined by that. And a bunch of y'all have been kind enough to do that recently. But if you have not done that, it would really be great if you would do that. I'm just going to tell a few recent people. Ali P said, fun show. Gotaway Carson said, I didn't like it, but now I pay for it. So I don't know what that is. Haha, zombies. Good goose from some good boys. A lot of great reviews in there. If you could leave us one of those, that would just be the best. Thank you so much.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. I say this every week, but it really is fucking super, super good. I was listening to some non-It's a Departure tracks off that album the other day, and it's just front to back. It's all bangers.
I want to do a quick put. We're on the MaximumFun.org network. I want to do a quick plug for one of the shows on the network that has been crushing it lately called We Got This, where they try to settle a debate. Very recently, you could hear Ted Leo talk about the best breakfast cereal and Weird Al Yankovic talk about the best Monty Python song. Like, come on.
I'm also on an episode. Me and Ben Blacker talking about Batman or Superman. I am Team Superman, and I get real ganged up on by Mr. Gagliardi and Mr. Blacker.
It is an unfair show for liars and cheats and swindlers.
But it's a great program. So go listen to We Got This.
If you want to find all the shows that McElroy's work on, we have a website called McElroyShows.com. It also has our P.O. Box mailing addresses, email addresses. And I realized that with all those shows we do, it might get a little confusing. So I made a handy dandy weekly schedule of what day of the week shows come out on. So you can tell people and direct them towards that, if that might be helpful to you. McElroyShows.com. Let's see. Oh, Jonah Ray is going to be on the show. You probably know him from a bunch of stuff, but mostly he has recently starred in the new Mystery Science Theater 3000 reboot, which is awesome. And I have watched a bunch of episodes and thoroughly enjoy it. So if you have questions for him, we know that one of his topics is going to be zombies and zombie related questions. We'll probably have additional topics that we will tweet about. But if you're thinking about zombie-related questions, go ahead and email those in now and just put Jonah somewhere in the subject line. What else? Oh, and start getting in your questions for the Austin live show in a month. Yeah, so if you've got those questions, start sending them in with Austin live show in the subject.
I'm going to be doing this Thursday. I'm going to be at the Columbus Podcast Festival. We're doing Still Buffering, Quarter Pointed, and Sawbones on Thursday at the Columbus Podcast Festival. So come on out, come just Google that, and you'll find the place to buy a ticket. Tickets are not bad. They're like $10. It's a two night event, but if you, it's $10 for one night, $20 for two nights. So come on out. That's going to be fun.
Do y'all want a final?
Yes.
This final Yahoo was sent in by Morgan Davey. Keep it wavy. Morgan Davey. It's by Yahoo Answers user. Sorry, something's gone wrong, but we'll call them Charles. Charles asks, is there a clean version of Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy. They do say piss a lot in that one.
This has been My Brother, Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
So the 2017 Max Fun Drive was a huge success. Thank you so much to everyone who joined or upgraded during the drive and to all of our amazing monthly members. To celebrate, we're giving our $10 and higher monthly members the chance to buy additional enamel pins with the profits going to our friends at the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank. What? Yeah. The sale runs April 26th through May 3rd, and it's your last chance to get your hands on these sweet pins. $10 monthly members should receive a link and a code in their email on April 26th, so keep an eye on your inbox and get your denim jacket ready. For more information, visit MaximumFun.org/pins. And thank you again.